Welcome to B2B, Boots to Books, the show where we explore the journeys of veterans and military-connected students as they navigate their paths from service to the classroom and beyond. I'm Dustin Abrego.
And I'm Rebecca Allen, your hosts. Each week, we'll dive into powerful stories of resilience, determination, and success.
Whether you're a veteran yourself, a military family member, or simply inspired by the strength of those who serve, you're in the right place.
Let's turn the page and start this incredible journey together.
Hello, long time no talk. Welcome back to an episode of B2B. This week, I am joined by
Rebecca Allen.
And Rebecca will be the new co-host with me of B2B. Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Talk to me about your role here for other people that don't know, like, because you work at LCC with me, right? We both work here together. What is that like? How long have you been here? All that stuff.
So I am the VA coordinator and school certifying official.
Is that your actual title?
That is my actual title.
That's so long of a title.
It is very long. But I handle submitting all of the VA education benefits and making sure that everyone is getting paid and getting their classes paid for and things like that.
Okay. So when people do benefits and other things and they come to Lansing Community College, I help them navigate classes and what makes sense to make sure it lines up with the benefits. And then you're the, here's the paperwork, here's all the stuff. So that way people actually get housing stipends, right?
Yep.
And then also tuition gets like accounted and paid for and stuff, right?
Yep. Housing stipends, book stipends, getting their tuition
books,
paid for.
Yes. Books are important. Yes. How long have you been here at LCC then as of right now?
It's going to be 3 months next week, I think.
Wow. Okay.
So it's gone by fast.
Yeah. How have things been going for you here? Because talk to us about where you came from and maybe like your professional and or educational, because we actually overlapped at Central.
Yep.
We maybe met each other possibly in passing, and we have a very good friend in common that we met. But talk to us about where you've been, how you ended up here at LCC and stuff.
Yeah. So I have been in veteran services for just about 10 years. I started at the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency in their resource center. I was there for 5 years. Then I moved over to the National Guard Family Programs Office. I was, at that time, it was called the Soldier and Family Readiness Support person. So I handled a lot of case management. I handled the deployment support. I was there for 2 years. Then I moved out to the VFW National Home as their veteran navigator and peer support specialist and part-time case manager. So handling a lot of different facets of veteran support out there for the families that are utilizing those programs. Went back to the Guard as the risk reduction coordinator for about a year, and now I'm here.
That is quite a list of different positions. And
yeah,
I know some of those terms because we've talked obviously quite a bit. When people hear these terms of like navigator, support coordinator, for people that don't use these benefits or don't know what actually that person, like, what did you do within those?
Yeah, so it can be really difficult to understand resources that are available. So anyone that is using any kind of resources, whether you're going through Department of Health and Human Services or 211 or anything like that, it can be really difficult to navigate that. Mm-hmm. And then you have that added layer of the scarcity of veteran resources and the added complexity of the eligibility criteria. So understanding what you're eligible for, what you can access, how you can use that, especially when you are in moments of crisis, whether it's a housing crisis or a food crisis, employment, anything like that, having someone who can act as your case manager to help figure out what you can use and how best to use those resources to get you back on your feet. So that is essentially what I was doing in most of those roles.
So like social worker adjacent, not really, because I know that that's completely different.
Yes.
Like you weren't doing the mental health aspect necessarily. You were connecting them maybe to people and stuff for that. But
yep.
Okay. And you had talked about your service. Would you care sharing like what that was for you? And
yeah. So I was in the Guard for 7 years, Army National Guard. I was a human resource specialist for 6 years and a mental health specialist for 1 year. Spent most of my time with the 46 MP Command here in Lansing handling. It was kind of in-country response things for disaster relief. So we would handle the command of units that would be responding to any kind of national disaster.
Like hurricane, stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
During the pandemic, they actually led a lot of the vaccination clinics and a lot of the responses across the country. So my unit was spread out across the country. I was out by then, but getting to see that they were able to do the things that we had trained for that whole time was pretty cool.
So obviously this is called Boots to Books, and we talk about education and stuff. Like, where, what is that like path for you of being in service? Like, were you during college, after college? What did college versus that look like for you?
Yep. So I actually originally intended to go to the Air Force Academy, and I had an injury, and that ended up not working out for me. So I chose to go to Central Michigan, and I was studying geographic information systems with the thought that maybe someday I'll enlist and I'll go into Intel. And I did end up enlisting while I was at Central. I walked into the ROTC office and met with the National Guard recruiter one day and just decided this is what I'm going to do. Intel ended up not working out. Very few slots in the state at the time for that particular position. I enlisted. I left for boot camp. It was the second half of my junior year. Came back, did ROTC for a while, and ended up having some personal military-related concerns. I lost a friend of mine who was adjacent to the military. And it was one of those things where, you know, right now college isn't really important for me. So dropped out. Spent a couple of years just trying to figure out where I was in my life. And after spending a lot of time working with veterans and just being around my military and veteran friends, I realized I really want to get into mental health. So I reclassed to mental health specialist. So changed my job in the military and ended up going back to Central and getting my psychology degree.
How did that work if you were in the ROTC? Because again, civilian over here, right? And again, this podcast should be for everyone, right? Of if you're in the ROTC, like that's you saying, hey, I'm going to do, be in the Guard or something after I graduate, correct?
Yes, if you contract. So I was considered a non-contracted cadet.
Interesting. Okay.
So I did not have the responsibilities of an ROTC cadet. So I didn't, when I graduated, I wasn't going to commission or anything like that. I was just in it for the experience, not for the promotion.
So if you were to contract, they would pay for schooling then? Okay. So, I was like, what's the benefit to it?
Yeah. So contracting, you get some of the education benefits. And then once you complete your degree and you graduate, you then commission into your branch and component of choice.
Gotcha. Okay.
So instead, I stayed enlisted instead of going to be an officer.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So coming here to LCC and figuring out like what that meant for you with the experience you have, and how do you feel like the crossover of what you used to do versus what you do now? What does that look like?
So I have done case management for 10 years.
It sounds heavy, even the way you explain it.
It is. And much of that, if I wasn't doing it directly for my job, I was also working in nonprofits or volunteering in suicide prevention as well. So there was a lot of crossover there, and it gets to be very heavy. It can really weigh on you. And I was starting to feel the burnout. And my husband saw the position posted and suggested, hey, you want to stay in veteran services, but let's maybe look at something outside of really heavy, like crisis management and case management.
Yeah.
And it just felt like the right move to make, because I'm still getting to support veterans and getting to support military families. But it's also not as mentally taxing. I get to work with students now who are looking optimistically at their future. They have a path ahead of them, and it's really nice to be able to see that.
before you started here, because that's relatively maybe fresh in your mind, what did you think it was going to be like here or in this role, like what you do? Because I know that you were in the ROTC and you went to a university and you've been, you know, in those things, but like seeing the other side of it, like working at the school, but still engaging with military, like, did you have any preconceived notions of maybe how you thought it would be of like, oh, these people are just paper pushers and like, that's what that is, which like, we're here now, I'm like, whatever, but.
Not really. I kind of expected that it was going to be more administrative based.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, it's sending paperwork to the VA. So there's always a heavy level of administration there.
Sure.
But I wasn't really expecting anything in particular. I thought that it was going to be a nice change of pace, seeing what it's like working on the higher education side. And it has been. I'm learning a lot about how to navigate a side of VA benefits that I was never really using. I didn't use my VA benefits until much later.
Sure.
And it's different using them at a community college than it is at a university. And understanding the different level of support that community college students require versus university students.
What would you say that that is? Because I would agree with you. I think in the range of students that maybe I interact with, of even just like reading and math levels and stuff, and not like numbers and things, but the ability to comprehend, and like, I'm a first gen college student, right? So I don't expect people to like just know how it works, but I would definitely agree with you. But what do you think that looks like for you, the way you explain that?
So the students that I'm working with, they're either dependents of veterans, and so they're usually younger students, or they are spouses or veterans themselves, and so they're a little bit older. It could be the second or third time that they've decided to go to school. Could be that they had a full career and now they're choosing to go to school. And just seeing that there is a different level of support that is needed, because most of our students have jobs, you know, they're, they don't have to live in dorms. So they have to figure out their housing situation, with it being a commuter college. You know, it's, they have to figure out how to balance life a little bit more than we did when we were in university.
What was your farthest walk when you were on campus?
Across campus.
Maybe so like 10 minutes if you're really booking it, right?
I lived in North Campus for a little while, and then I had classes towards the south end of campus. And
like in Finch probably, right?
Yeah. Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I had a bike, so it's usually faster.
Yeah, so we know that that distance, I mean, when we were in it, we're like, oh, man, across campus. But when we talk to the students, like, I literally have to Google map stuff all the time when a student, and I'm verifying date of birth and address of who they are, making sure who I'm on the phone with is the actual student. And I don't know the names of some of these places where they live in the state, which is totally fine, right? I don't know all of them, but I'm like, wow, that's like 40 minutes one way, right? How do we factor that in? How do you, like you're saying, the support and stuff. So that can just be a lot overall, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think you've learned that was maybe a surprising thing with working with, there's the preconceived notions. You said like, oh, I need different levels of support. What do you think it was like, wow, really? That's just how it works?
The way that I think our team works together, actually.
Very poorly. Okay, got it. All right.
No, having dedicated staff for military-connected students. So, you know, at Central, we had the Veteran Resource Center, but I never interacted with them. So I never really saw what kind of support might be available. But knowing that we have two dedicated people that handle the benefits and making sure that our students are getting their questions answered, and knowing that we have a dedicated academic advisor, we have a dedicated admissions advisor, we have a counselor who is very familiar with military connected students and is able to provide that level of additional support. Just having that team and knowing that I can reach out to you and, hey, I have this question about what class this student is taking, and making sure that they're using their benefits to the best possible way, and having a whole team that I can feel comfortable reaching out to is really nice.
I think that the And I don't know if this is like the proper way to relate this, because I need to ask some more students about this. I would probably view it in the way that for those that don't maybe get that, right? Because I didn't serve and I don't know what that would mean, but the possible level of relaxation when a student comes in and they don't have to go, there's this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't know how, and there's preconceived notions that I work in education. So it's more of like people take it in a political way sometimes. And I'm like, I'm just here to help, right? Yeah. But I would probably like similar metaphor of the first language that like, how can I help you now that I like we're over that hump? You don't have to like this for me to be on board. Like I'm already on board. And mm-hmm. I think having those services, like, would you agree it's kind of like that? Or
oh, absolutely.
In your experience?
Yeah. And that's one thing that I noticed when I was working in case management is I had a lot of veterans that were seeking assistance that thought that they had to explain everything because they just assumed that whoever they're working with doesn't understand like what their service was like or possibly what they're going through now and the level of stigma that can come along with being a veteran and trying to ask for help. And I've seen that even now working with some of our veteran students. Like, yeah. I don't want to ask how to fix this. I'm just going to try and figure out how to fix it on my own. Like, well, that's what we're here for. We're mm-hmm. we're here to help you figure out mm-hmm. how to get your class schedule fixed, how to mm-hmm. make sure that you are actually using your benefits and mm-hmm. you don't have to take 45 minutes to try and explain why you're struggling with the idea of just asking for the help. Because with Andrew and I both being veterans mm-hmm. and the rest of the team being well-versed in mm-hmm. in veteran services, you don't have to explain it. We're here because we get it and we're happy to help.
And I think we'll all listen if that's what they want. Also, if you want to talk about that, like, sure, mm-hmm. for sure, right? But you don't need to convince us.
Yeah.
We're already on board.
Yeah.
What do you think are things that you would like to see? And I'm going to tell Andrew this and be like, hey, this is the critique Rebecca's provided. Where do you see are things that maybe you're excited about trying or like support that you think the students would get a lot out of? Like I have my own ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also haven't served. That's why I try to bounce things off of you and Andrew of different ideas. What do you think would be either supports or like, I know we've talked like fun things, right? Or other things you're like, I'd really like it if it was just like turnkey, wave a wand like this.
Yeah. I would really like to see more social events.
Mm.
I'd like to see if we can get our student veterans a little more engaged with each other. And I know that that's difficult because, again, commuter school, so it's not like we're all centered in one area and the majority of our students have families and jobs outside of school that they have to try to balance as well. But being able to encourage that camaraderie again, because that is one thing from a mental health aspect, is having that connection with people that understand. You know, it doesn't matter if I didn't serve in the same branch or at the same time frame or have the same deployment experiences. I still have the military experience and I still understand what you're going through and what it's been like for you since getting out of service.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to encourage that. I'd really, really like to be able to do more of that.
What would that look like when we talk about it? Because I know that there's, again, civilian mindset of like, there's the Veterans Day parade. There's whatever that was. We had talked at some point this summer. There was like some, was it Vet Fest?
Vet Fest, yeah.
There's things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that those are too, like, not intense, that's the wrong way to put it, but just too much and, like, students would prefer, like, this is a group of people I can chill with mm-hmm. and we don't have to, like, my identity first doesn't have to be a vet? Do you think that that's important to have that? Or, like, do we need to have, like, the, like, rah-rah, just, like, the whole thing with it tied to it? And I don't, does that make sense what I'm getting at?
Yeah. It's hard to answer that because I think it's different for everyone.
For sure.
I know a lot of veterans that are very much like, I want my service recognized. I want the ticker tape parade. I want mm-hmm. everyone to know. And then I know others who are like, yep, I served. That's mm-hmm. part of my identity, but that's not my entire identity.
Mm-hmm.
So just being around individuals that are of the same mindset, like, let's just sit around, chat, have some coffee, play some video games, anything like that.
Yeah.
Like I've had some veterans that are like, you know, I don't even need to sit and talk. I just want to be around other people who are going to understand that sometimes mm-hmm. I just need my space, but yep. I don't want to be alone.
Yeah. That's good. That's really powerful. I like that. What would you say for veterans that are considering to come here? Obviously we work here. Mm-hmm. We've already been like, hey, come here. We got you. But for those that you've probably already talked to, or those, you know, that's just like, I told you this like 8 times, you can sign up for this and it would be free, or like health insurance stuff, right? That we've, mm-hmm. cause we've got the VSO person coming at some point soon. Yep. What do you want those people to know that are just like, hey, like you could just do this stuff, and people are just like, I'm just, mm.
It's not as difficult as we make things out to be. I think as veterans,
what do you mean by we, when you say
as veterans,
okay.
We, gotcha. We tend to overthink things. Mm. You know, we've been conditioned into a mindset that we have to know exactly what we're walking into, and we have to be prepared Ooh. For what we're walking into. And coming from a university and being a completely unorganized civilian student, and then coming here and seeing just how easy it can be
really
to get things done and get where you need to go with things. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you have to try and figure out class schedules sure. and balancing things like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's a lot more support here than I received when I was at a university. Mm. And just having the ability to go to the Star Zone or go to an advisor or just come into our office over in Huron and just, hey, I am trying to figure out this, this, and this. And having people that are going to be willing to help walk you through that. And if they're not the people that can walk you through that, they're going to be able to find the people that can walk you through that. You're not going to be directed to 1,000 different places.
What are the resistance arguments that you hear when you tell those people? Because I have my own interactions, right? But I'm sure that you have dozens of contacts of people that are just like, yeah, man, not this time. Yeah, I'm not, eh. Like, I didn't say they're good, but like, oh, this, it's raining today or something. You know yeah. what I mean? Like,
there is hesitancy, especially for veterans who have had careers, whether they're civilian careers or military careers. You know, they tend to be mid to late 30s plus, and they think, well, what's the point of going back to school or going to school for the first time? I've been able to get where I need to go so far. That's been a lot of the push that I've been hearing, especially like going to guard functions and talking with anyone who is a senior NCO or higher. Like, oh, I don't need to go to school. Like, look where I am in the military right now. Yeah, but you're going to want to retire at some point, and you're going to need to figure out what civilian life is going to look like for you. And you may not need a 4-year degree.
Sure.
You may not need sure. a master's,
sure.
but at least going for those certifications or going for an associate's to help get you where you envision yourself in the civilian world, because they think that they're going to come out of the military having all of this experience and they're going to be able to go into a management position or some kind of leadership position when they're just starting out in a civilian career.
And the way you're framing this, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't always happen.
And we're not knocking those things, right? It's more of, you know, firsthand that that's not.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for example, my husband retired after 23 years of service, and he's not getting into like senior leadership positions in the civilian world, you know, even though he was in multiple leadership positions and he has a lot of experience. It's just not always the case.
That sucks.
It really does.
that would hurt a lot, being like, yeah, Dustin, you got this master's in education, but like, no.
Well, and it's not even a so it is a governmentally recognized equivalent of, but it's not something that's necessarily recognized in corporate settings or things like that. Mm. So unless you're getting into like a veteran-owned company.
Is there a stigma? Is that it? Is it the way that it translates and it's antiquated? And I'm not asking you to like solve everything nationally. I just, I don't know how that shows up. I know if people don't meet requirements, because I've been on interview committees and stuff, and it's like, oh, well, they don't have this item. But
I think antiquated is a good way to put it.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of companies or organizations that aren't really considering exactly what kind of training goes into things. But I think when we're in the military, we're also kind of hyped up with, look at all this great training that you're getting.
Sure.
And so we get out thinking that we have more to offer than we really do. And that's not the best way to put it, I guess. But we think that we're higher qualified than we really are. Mm-hmm. We have the experience, yes,
sure,
but we don't necessarily have the qualifications on paper in the way that companies are looking for.
Or able to explain it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, crap. I feel like we're developing a workshop that me and you need to put on of like how to make your JST into a resume.
I have already built that.
Okay. So we're going to talk after this. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So to wrap up here though, what do you want to leave us with? What are things, I mean, obviously we're going to be doing this in the future, co-hosting and stuff. What are some things you're excited for about the future, whether it be work related or not?
I'm just excited to see what else is in store working with student veterans and military connected veterans. Because again, this is a whole new population of military connected families that I'm working with. And I'm excited to see them prosper.
That's great. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be here again soon.
Yep.
So thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. You've been listening to B2B, Boots to Books.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the inspiring stories of veterans and military-connected students.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your community.
We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us on social media or take a listen to previous episodes at lccconnect.com or your favorite streaming platform.
Remember, every story is a step forward.
And together, we can build a bridge from boots to books.
Until next time, stay strong
and keep moving forward.